311.
Good afternoon and welcome to another edition of the 311 Radio Show here on VOB 92.9. And happy Sunday to everybody. Hope everyone is having a wonderful afternoon. And this afternoon, we have a very special guest with us. Last week, we had Ms. Doriel Gill Skinner. She was here and she's a part of the EM and so on. And this week, we have another member of the Department of, when I say the EM, I mean the Department of Emergency Management, for those who are not very au fait with that term. And this afternoon, we have another representative from the Department of Emergency Management in Ms. Joyanne Johnson, and she is the Program Officer of the Department of Emergency Management. Good afternoon to you, Joyanne.
Yes, and I'm listening.
Right. And last week, we kind of dabbled a bit into it, and I did say that if we are fortunate, and I guess we are fortunate, we would have someone else representing from the Department of Emergency Management who will also, you know, shed some more light on hurricane preparedness. And that is our topic of today, because last week we mainly dealt with the community safety awareness fair that was held, safety awareness day that was held at the Deacon's Court only a few weeks prior. But today we're going to go a little more in depth into hurricane preparedness from the perspective of, you know, you, the homeowner, and so on, and some of the roles that the EM play in terms of, you know, preparedness and hurricane season. I am your host this afternoon, Fire and Life Safety Officer Jason Collins, and I have been your host for quite a while. And this afternoon, we're going to dive into some hurricane preparedness. So, Ms. Johnson, you know, from the perspective of the EM, you're here and representing from the EM today. What are some of the things, you know, you guys work feverishly as it relates to hurricane preparedness? Once you hear hurricane preparedness, you start to think the EM. Once you think hear the disaster preparedness, anything of that sort, you think the EM. What are some of the things in terms of hurricane preparedness that the EM do? What do you guys do to make yourselves ready to be able to help the public of this country?
Okay, so thank you, Jason, for having me here to speak on how the Department of Emergency Management prepare for hurricanes and to provide some tips on how individuals can prepare for the hurricanes and for the impact of any hazard for that matter. So here at the DEM, we are always in a state of readiness to respond to a hazard impact of a national emergency. However, for the hurricane hazard, which is a slow onset hazard, and this basically means that we have time to prepare ourselves prior to the impact. So at the DEM, our preparations begin way before the 1st of June. There are several activities which we conduct on a regular basis. For example, our weekly radio check. Our radio operator, he conducts weekly radio checks to ensure that all the radio systems which are connected to the DEM system are working the way they should. And when I say radios, I mean like VHF radios, the UHF, the Astro radio systems. And he ensures that they are in good working condition. While at the same time, he's given the radio operators the opportunity to become familiar and to practice with how to use the radio more effectively and efficiently. So as the 1st of June approaches, the radio operator, he conducts the maintenance of our radios and our antennas located here at the DEM office, as well as our alternate national emergency operations center, which are located at the District A Police Station and at the Archall Fire Academy. So that is one of the things we do on a weekly basis and just before the hurricane season starts. So also, we have some community bins which are located in the 11 parishes across Barbados. And these community bins, they are stocked with emergency supplies, such as chainsaws, reflective vests, hard hats, hammers, shovels, emergency supplies, which are used by the district emergency organization and are more commonly referred to as the DEOs. And they are used by those persons to assist with cleanup efforts prior to the national services arriving on the scene. So we also conduct audit of our local warehouse to ensure that there are adequate stockpiles of emergency equipment to respond at the national level. However, we also have a regional warehouse. And just to note here, I'm pause here to say that Barbados, we are the central sub-regional focal point for the member states of the Caribbean Disaster Emergency Management Agency. So basically what that means is that we also stockpile emergency supplies for our office in the event that those at our office, sorry, and event that those countries within the CDMA central sub-regional focal point are impacted by a hazard or the hurricane. So basically, those countries are Dominica, St. Lucia, St. Vincent, and Grenadines. So if any of the islands are impacted by the hurricane, then we already have emergency stockpiles, supplies which can easily be shipped to those countries. So then there's emergency shelters and the first aid supplies. The DEM, we collaborate with the Ministry of Education, Technological and Vocational Training to ensure that the shelter booklets are completed and distributed prior to the 1st of June. But even before the circulation of the shelter booklets, we, in collaboration with the Ministry of Education, we conduct an assessment of facilities to ensure their fit or readiness to be used as emergency shelters. And this assessment is conducted or coordinated by the Ministry of Education in collaboration with other agencies, special areas. So for example, you will see the Ministry of Transport Works and Maintenance. They will have some person there as well, someone from the Barbados Association of Professional Engineers, just to name a few of those agencies who assist with the assessment. So once those assessments are done and the buildings have been deemed suitable as emergency shelters, the DEM works in collaboration with the Ministry of Health and Wellness to ensure that first aid supplies for the Category 2 emergency shelters are stocked. And just to remind the public here that there are two categories of emergency shelters. The Category 1, which are open prior to the passing of the hurricane, and then there are the Category 2 shelters, which are open in the event that they are in a reasonable condition after the passing of the hurricane. So we work in collaboration with the Ministry of Health to ensure that the Category 2 emergency shelters are stocked with first aid supplies in the event that anyone sheltering at the shelter need first aid. For the Category 1 emergency shelter, the Ministry of Health, their supply first aid supplies to those shelters. Then we ensure that our resource manual is up to date. Basically, our resource manual is a document which lists the emergency personnel and their contact information, as well as the resources available, which are available to support response operations following the impact of a hazard. So for example, Ministry of Tourism and International Transport, they may have equipment that we can use. Same thing with MTWM. They may have tractors or front loaders that we can call upon to use in the response effort. So that's where our resource manual is updated. And then I mentioned the National Emergency Operations Center. Basically, for the listeners, that is the central hub. That is where we coordinate the response activities. So representatives of each of the emergency agencies, they are located here at the NEOC. So we update that by ensuring that the stationary level, the stationery is well stocked. The computers and electronics are running effectively and efficiently the start of the 1st of June. So that's how we prepare ourselves at the DEM on the internal, our internal readiness. So Jason, over to you.
Okay, well, quite a lot to take in. And I know it's quite a lot, even in preparation and so on. You mentioned a couple of things that I am aware of already in terms of stuff like the NEOC and so on. I also am very aware of the, you mentioned, I can't remember the exact name, but I was a part of it at one stage where you guys go and check the hurricane shelters to make sure that they're in a state of readiness and that they are, you know, yeah, basically in a state of readiness. And I do recall being a part of one of those teams one year when we had to go around to the different shelters to basically make sure that things were in a certain, you know, and this is before the 1st of June. So you guys are on the ball and working way before the start period of our hurricane season. And, you know, people don't see these things, and these are the things that I always say that are taken for granted or, you know, overlooked by a lot of us, because these are not the things that we see. You know, people see the part when the hurricane has affected them and they have to go to a shelter, but they don't see the preparation that goes in way before that hurricane time. And the amount of work. And even in addition to what you mentioned, all the things that you mentioned, I know that the EM also put on a lot of drills and what we call practice runs, dry runs of certain things for different types of disasters, tsunami, hurricane, et cetera. So I have been a part of some of the, you know, stuff that the EM put on over the years, the Barbados Fire Service. And as you said, a lot of multi-agency work takes place behind the scenes way before hurricane season. So when something happens, when that call is made, when we, you know, we are called upon to assist the public, we kind of, it's like clockwork. We kind of know exactly what we have to do, who does what, who goes where, the response and so on, because all of these things are done. It's not done willy-nilly. It is a process. It's done over a period of time. A lot of practice goes into it. So yes, I do understand. And I'm glad that you shed some light on that for the public of Barbados to understand the role, or at least some of the roles, because the EM play a very big role in disaster management in this country. And just to let them know some of the roles that you guys play, you know, in disaster management, and in this case, hurricane preparedness.
Yes. As you indicated, we conduct the shelter assessment. So those shelter assessments are done January and February. So as soon as the year starts, we already hit the ground and we have Correct. Already been running.
Correct. It's very early
to ensure
in the year
that we are prepared.
Yeah, it could
and
be
then we go into our March is our tsunami month. Pardon me?
No, I was saying that the shelter assessments can be quite tedious, because as I said, I've been part of it one of the years, and I do recall myself with Station Officer Vaughan. I don't think he wasn't a station officer at the time, but who was currently Station Officer Vaughan. We would have gone around to a number of the shelters and did that assessment with you guys, as you say, with a number of other agencies who also, you know, a group of us went around and basically made sure that the shelters were in a state of readiness. So yes, it's an ongoing process. And it starts very early in the year, because yes, it was very early at the turn of the year, long before that hurricane season. So the preparation is not something that is done at the last minute at all. So I can definitely attest to that. So as you were saying, go ahead.
No, it's not. Each year we do, for example, if we do Cavalry 1 shelters this year, we conduct the assessment of the Cavalry 2 shelters in the next year. And as you indicated, it is a very long and tedious process.
Correct.
So my heartfelt thanks goes out to the representative from the Ministry of Education and all of those other agencies who are, it is a very tedious process.
Yeah, it takes a number of days, actually. It's not a one-day thing at all.
Sometimes it can go into 2 weeks.
Exactly. It takes a number of days going around to the different facilities. And then sometimes you find a few discrepancies that you have to speak to. And I'm speaking from the NLB Fire Service now, where sometimes we may find a few discrepancies and we may say, well, you know what, if this is going to be a shelter, we will need to rectify this area or this problem or this issue. You know, so yes, every entity would have their own, you know, from our end would be fire and life safety, but there will be other entities that would have different portfolios that they'll be looking out for, you know? Yeah.
Right. Ministry of Health and Wellness, they'll be looking at from the health aspect. The right. representative from the Barbados Association of Professional Engineers, they're looking from that aspect as well. And we also have a representative from the Barbados Council of the Disabled to ensure that the facilities are suitable for those persons who may have disabilities.
Correct. Yeah, and that's very important, because we always have to remember those persons who have disabilities, because it is not only a case of able-bodied persons who may have to come to the shelters, but you may have persons with disabilities, you may have persons elderly living alone who, you know, the house might become compromised and they may have to come to a shelter. And we have to put all those things in place. And not only do we have to put those things in place, but the persons, the homeowners themselves, have to put themselves in a state of readiness, because DEM is doing all that they can to be in a state of readiness for the season. And we too, as persons, household owners and so on, have a responsibility to ourselves to be in a state of readiness. And that draws us into the next thing that we wanted to touch on today, which is like some hurricane tips from your perspective as working with the Department of Emergency Management, some of the things that you would say, how can individuals prepare then from their end? Because you have done your part, the EM is doing their part, the emergency services are doing their part in terms of, you know, getting ourselves in a state of readiness. What can a person, a homeowner or whatever, do to put themselves in a state of readiness as well? What are some of the things that they can do from your end as an emergency person?
Okay, so just to note that these tips are for not only for the passing of a hurricane, but they can be used for any hazard at that. So as it relates to the hurricane preparedness, there are some basic things that we already know what we should do, such as ensuring that our home is secured. The trees are close to our homes are trimmed. Any gutters or drains are located around our homes are cleared to ensure that our windows, the doors, the roofs are secured. And any loose objects outside are secured outside. But these are things that we are already familiar with. But there are a number of other activities which we must also do to protect ourselves, bearing in mind that preparation, and I repeat, preparation is the key to saving our lives. So one of the first things we would advise persons to have is an emergency family plan. And this emergency family plan does not have to be a five-page document. It does not have to be anything fancy. It can be a simple checklist of what you're going to do during the hurricane. So one of the first things you need to determine, we spoke about shelters, is whether you're going to remain at home or whether you're going to seek alternate shelter. We always encourage persons, if they're going to seek alternate shelter, their first option should be family members or friends. Make going to the shelter your last resort. And in that, you need to know where emergency shelters are located. And you need to know if they're category one or if they're going to be category two. Remember that the category ones are open before. So you have the opportunity to go to the category ones before the hurricane passes. I want to remind persons here that the sole purpose of an emergency shelter is to provide a roof over your head. So do not go to the shelter expecting hotel conditions. Also, pets are not allowed at the shelters. So if you're a pet lover and you have pets and you know you're going to a shelter, you need to ensure the safety of your pets prior to leaving home and going to the shelter. Then you need to determine, okay, I'm not going to the shelter, I'm going to shelter at home. If you're going to shelter at home, you need to identify the safest room in your home. And this may be for those persons who have a walk-in closet, or it may be the bathroom, or if not, it may just be the hallway. But whichever room you choose, make sure that it has the least amount of windows. I remember a person saying during Hurricane Elsa that when the wind was blowing, I know they were really scared, they were in the hallway, and they remained in the hallway, and they felt a sense of safety in the hallway. Also, have a survival kit and a go-by. The survival kit, this will include such things as toiletries, water for at least 3 days, first aid kit, flashlights, non-perishable food items for 3 days. And this all depends on your dietary lifestyle. So it does not make sense to go out there buy canned meats if you do not eat meat. So if you know you do not eat meat, you don't necessarily have to buy canned meat. You can buy peas, you can buy those things and stock up on. You have first aid supplies, batteries, clothing, portable radio, lantern, flashlight, you know. And I remember by Officer Natasha Ford and yourself were discussing last week. I mentioned some rope. So those things will go into your survival kit. But then you also need to have a go-by. And the go-by is something that you can easily grab and go should the needs arise. And this will contain your important documents, medication, bottled water. Whereas if the survival kit, you may have like buckets of water. If in your go-by, you may just have bottled water. You do not want to make your go-by too heavy.
Correct.
Disposable gloves, cash, and we recommend $20 in denomination or less. You don't want $200 bills because in the event that you need to purchase something, you want to have smaller cash, the currency. And in this COVID environment that we are living in, remember to include such things as your mask and your hand sanitizers. So these things will go into your go bag. So remember, there's a survival kit and then there's the go bag. The go bag is the one that in the event you need to just grab it quickly and go and run. That will be your go bag. And we also encourage persons to know their community. Don't just live in your community. Get familiar with it. Get to know your community. Know the hazards that can impact your community. know where the vulnerable areas in your community are, because you need to know in the event that you need to evacuate your community, you need to know the areas that are flooded. You need to know the areas that may be impassable. So get to know your community. Get to know the vulnerable persons in your community as well. Because following the impact of the hurricane, you may be required to assist those persons until emergency services can arrive. And then identify evacuation routes from your community. Some of us, we live in cul-de-sac, where there's one entrance in and that same entrance out. So you need to identify evacuation route, because you need to remember that how things look prior to the hurricane or in normal conditions may not necessarily be how they look after the hurricane. So you need to know your evacuation routes. And I just want to say also, become familiar with emergency shelters near you and know the district emergency organizations in your area. There are departments, eyes and ears on the ground, and they can assist you prior or after the passing of the hurricane, before the national services can get to your assistance. Over to you, Jason.
Yes, and I do hear you loud and clear, and I thank you very much for shedding some light on those things, because you know, these are things that we probably have heard over time. And as you said in the beginning, there are some of the things that we already know. And I'm sure you did add some stuff, because it's always good to reiterate things, because sometimes you might not have heard it the first time, but over time, there's something else you heard that you didn't hear the last time. And you said a few things that, you know, jump out at me, especially, and this is something we hear over and over every year, but yet sometimes people tend to do the opposite. And you spoke of you have to know your community, but know your shelters, know your hurricane shelters. You don't wait until something happens and then you're in a situation where you need a shelter and you have to be scrambling around to find out where the shelter is closest to me, what should I do, and et cetera, because by then it might be too late, you know. We also have to look at the fact that communication might be down. I heard you speak about your radios, your hell radios, when you were speaking about DEM's internal readiness, you spoke about the high health radios. And I know, obviously, because of my department as well, that we use these radios for communication, because phone lines may be down, more than likely the electricity might be off, cell phones might not be able to be charged, etc. So those might be your only means of communication from an emergency perspective. For those who are civilians, they may not have the high health radios. So obviously, with cell phones and so on being down, you may not be in a position where you can call a person or message or WhatsApp or whatever to ask about where the shelters are located. So knowing your shelters, and as you say, knowing if it's category 1 or 2, that's also very important. These are things that kind of stood out at me. Having your go bag, you know, I can say for sure that over the years, long before it was a fire, I was as a child growing up, my mom used to have, I didn't know what it was called. It didn't have a particular name, but my mom would always have a bag prepared. I'm pretty sure right now, mom has a bag somewhere in the house, put somewhere that in case something happens, she has, you know, certain things that she can grab and go at any given time. And these are things that we need to really take seriously and understand that the importance of them long before the hurricane season. You spoke to some things that I mentioned in previous program where we spoke about trimming trees and so on, and these clearing your gutterings, that's also a very important one. I think we had a rude awakening of that when we had the ash fall, and that is again another form of disaster management that we had to deal with, that we really were not expecting. It was kind of unexpected the way it happened and so on. The good thing, as you said about hurricanes, most of the time you have time to prepare for them, you know, a little bit of time that you know when it is coming, you're able to put things in place, and it gives you that just that amount of time to be able to get yourself in readiness. But long before that is announced, you need to have certain things in place so that you are in readiness, your house is in readiness. And you mentioned something that's important, using that shelter as your last resort. You know, using that, because some people hear hurricane and they think, okay, let me head to a shelter. If your house is compromised, or you know, you think that your house will not make it through the storm or whatever have you, then understandably, but oftentimes we are able to survive at home and we can shelter in place. That is usually the best way of, you know, doing it. Also, I am glad you mentioned it, because I have heard over the years a lot of comments you're not in a hotel, don't expect hotel treatment. And I think sometimes people expect hotel treatment when they go to hurricane shelters, and it is not that. And I do agree with you, I understand you, because at that stage, it is not about style and fashion, it is about survival. You're basically in survival mode at that stage, you know. It's all about making sure that everybody is safe and you know, lives to tell the tale another day or another year. So yes, I want to say a great thank you for all of that information. If you have anything to add, we still have to wrap up. So if there's anything you want to add in your closing remarks, please feel free to do so at this point, Ms. Johnson.
I just want to repeat what you said. Telecommunication systems may be down, and you may not be able to use your cell phone or your landline. So that's why it is key to know your neighbors, know your community, because before the emergency services can get to you, you'll be able to help yourself. So you may, because you will not be able to communicate with your outside community. You may not be able to communicate with your family that live in another parish. Correct. So it's key to know your community, know your neighbors, and know your DEOs. So for further information regarding hurricane tips or tips on any hazard, information on the emergency shelters or the DEOs, you can visit our website at dem.gov.bb, our social media pages at facebook.com/DEM246, our Instagram page at DEM.Barbados, or of course, contact our office 438-7575. And finally, remember that preparation is the key to saving your lives during any hazard impact. Thank you, Jason. Thank you, listeners, right, for having me today.
Very well said. And I just glad that you know, would have given all that information in terms of contact, how we can contact, how we can keep in touch with DEM if we need to know anything relating to hurricane. And not only hurricane, but any form of disaster management preparedness that we want to know about. And we want to thank you. I would like to thank you, Mrs. Johnson, for sharing your time. I know everybody's busy, and obviously being this the hurricane season, you are obviously going to be very stretched, but you took some time out of your busy schedule to be with us this afternoon to speak about hurricane preparedness. And we hope that I'm very sure the information is valuable to the public. I myself did take some valuable information and tips, even though from my perspective, I know a bit more than some might know in terms of the hurricane preparedness. And we would have spoken about some of these things in previous programs, but I was glad that you were here also to shed some light from your perspective. So thank you once again for having you, Representative Ms. Joyanne Johnson, the Program Officer of the Department of Emergency Management. It was great to have you here. Thanks. And don't be a stranger. There's always information. We always work as multi-agencies in what we do. So there's always time that we can converse on a number of different topics as it relates to emergency management. So don't feel free at any time to reach out if there's anything that you think that you need to speak about and you need to get to the public. This medium is always here to do so. So we thank you once again. Thanks for having you here. And we're out of time for this afternoon's edition of the 311 Radio Show. So to you listeners out there in the Starcom Network world, we want to say good afternoon. Have a safe and a wonderful week. Keep your preparedness up. Go and check around. Make sure that all of these things that Ms. Johnson spoke to you about are in place. If you don't have them in place, get them in place. And always remember, as we say before the end of every 311 Radio Show on Sunday afternoons, fire prevention is our intention. Have a wonderful week, Barbados. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Protecting life and property. Call 311. Promoting fire safety. Call 311. Enforcing safety standards. Call 311. Even rescuing animals. Call 311. Jaws of life and accidents. Men and women of resilience. Teaching who extinguishes. Rescue and life savers. Call
311. When there is a crisis, you can depend on the Barbados Fire Service, 311.